This is Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel.
That's a woman. When you are broken, you make a choice to stay down or go and find something to bring you back, to get you right on track. I was chosen. He found me in the perfect moment. Found my lows and made them high. So my stones to clear my skies. I don't think I can deny.
He makes me feel wanted like no one has before. He don't want nothing from it, but you know my love's for sure. I'd hate to be you watching him love me. I'd hate to be you watching him touch me. Now I am blessed to have what I need. Nothing compares to his.
What's up, everybody? It's your DJ, DJ Unspoken, here on my show, Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel. Coming to you live on this lovely Wednesday afternoon with a new topic that me and my co-DJ, DJ Karina,
what's up?
Here on Penguin Radio are going to be talking about. And I am kind of hot there. So topic for today is relationships. So I'm going to be talking about the intimate part of the relationship. So I'm not talking about, you know, family and, you know, you and friends and you, you know, talking about partner relationships here. So that's how we're gonna do it today. So our subtopics for today for relationships is gonna be stages of romantic relationships, exes and the green monster, jealousy, how to maintain a healthy relationship, toxic relationships, how to leave and end a relationship, and as always at the end, real words of the day. But first, you should know what time it is. It's time for my real feel segment. So in my real feel segment, how do you feel about fake people?
I don't feel for them. I don't feel at all for them. I hate fake people.
Gross. That's it?
Gross. I can't.
Just gross. Okay, whatever. Me, I don't mess with fake people. I'm a quiet person. I like to observe people before I try to put time and effort into them, because I don't want to just jump into something and then realize they show their true colors and wasting my time the whole time. So, yeah, not doing that. Don't mess with fake people. You know, second real folk thing is I hate being carless. It's the worst experience. I know Karina can feel me on this. You feel me on this?
I feel you on it.
In the arms. Just kidding. But for sure, it sucks. You can't go anywhere. You can't do what you need to do. You got to always ask people for rides. I'm not the type of person to ask people for stuff. I don't like doing it. It's the worst because people always expect things in return. People are just so selfish nowadays. I just can't stand it. Being carless. I mean, you're going to get a car pretty soon, don't you think?
I hope so. Yeah. I sure hope so.
I hope I get a car when I graduate. Maybe we'll not, because, you know, I'm trying to go overseas, so who knows? Who needs a car when you go overseas, right?
Right.
So in my gender comm class, we discussed privilege. We did this little privilege walk or whatever. And how do you feel about privilege?
Well, I think about it nowadays, and it's funny because I was talking to someone about it, and I mentioned white privilege and how it's, you know, become such a problem in nowadays. And I don't know, privilege, it's something that if you are privileged, you know, you, that's something that you have to be honored to have. I mean, I consider myself to be very privileged in my family and, you know, everything that they've gotten for me. But though I consider myself privileged, I know that my parents and everything had to work for what we have. So it's not like it was just handed to us.
No, whatever. I think some of the stuff you got in your life handed to you, but that's my personal opinion. But however, privilege, when I think of the word privilege, I think white privilege, because people who are typically of the fair skin don't have to wake up worrying about if they're going to get shot today, if they're going to get pulled over for some reason, you know, if they're going to get followed in a store or a corner store or anything like that. So privileged people, I mean, I think people take a lot of stuff for advantage. I feel like I'm privileged because, you know, I have clean water, I'm able to shower, I have an alarm clock, I have clothes that I can change every day. You know, some people wear the same things. Some people have to walk with buckets on their head to go miles and miles to go get some water, and it's usually dirty or, you know, has some kind of bacteria in it. So, I mean, certain areas of privilege, I understand that I'm privileged in some areas, but in general, in America, I don't feel like I'm that privileged just because of the color of my skin. So another real feel, man buns. So they started this clip on Epidemic that I don't even know why for what. So you can just be even more douchey than you are before with a man bun. So man bun clip-ons.
Clip-ons are ridiculous. Come on now. If you want some hair, grow it out yourself. If you can, then that's a sign. Don't do it.
I completely agree with that. I clip-on man buns, like, what? I think, like, what, $12.99, I think?
That's, I don't even know.
$12.99 for a piece of hair that's new thing not even today, real? So. Maybe get off of horses. I remember one of my teammates said that, you know, horse hair is not even that great.
I am thankful enough where I have my own hair. I am privileged in that sense. Okay.
So, losing a game, that is like one of the realest feelings that, you know, is the suckiest thing ever. Do not talk to me after I lose a game, especially if I lose a game by like a couple points and I know that I could have done a lot more. Please don't come try to talk to me. Don't tell me I had a good job. Don't say good game, number 25. No, I don't want to hear none of that. Just leave me alone. Let me put my headphones in. Let me listen to my music. Go take me go get something to eat. And, you know, maybe, you know, 6 hours later, I'll chit chat with you about it. But not right after. Losing the game is not the greatest feeling. Or, I mean, people would be like, oh, it's just a game. Well, you're just a person. Don't tell me about my life. This is my life. This is my sport. This is what I do. But, however, when I do win or lose, you know, another real field thing I do is I like candles. Well, I just recently started getting into candles last year. I was never a candle person, but my significant other just has this obsession with candles, and I really don't know why. I mean, they smell good, and they're nice, and they burn, you know, fire, woo. But, I mean, candles are great, and I listen to some relaxation music, you know, like some water falling or some, not grass growing. I can't listen to grass grow, but, you know, just some wind. Stuff like that, some wind blowing, some birds chirping, just to relax myself, you know, get my mind ready and focused on whatever else I need to do for the day. It takes on candles and relaxation music.
I mean, I love them both.
You love them know. Both. That's just a short.
I love them both. What do you want me to say? Candles okay. are candles whoa. Music calm is music.
There. All right, Rena. Calm down there. Well, that concludes my real feel. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, but it's break time. When we come back, we'll be jumping to our first subtopic about relationships. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Unspoken, and I'll be right back.
Like you said.
as I am.
We are back on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. So relationships, either love them or you hate them. The word relationship is defined as the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected or the state of being connected. So, to me, there's three stages, as I call them, of relationships. Well, romantic, since we're talking about, you know, intimate relationships, that people typically go through in a relationship. The first being romantic love. This stage, basically, you idolize your potential partner. You're always happy and excited when you see him or her. You think about them day and night and imagine all the possibilities that this person can fulfill your deepest desires. Ooh, saucy, saucy. You want to spend every moment of every day with them. However, be cautious, because as old saying goes, if it's too good to be true, then it usually is. In this stage, your brain is not able to assess and see the red flags or the flaws in your partner. You only see their potential and how you feel when you are with them. You have become an addict to the feeling of love. Ooh, that was deep. DJ Rena, go!
That's like the honeymoon stage, you know? You're infatuated. There's nothing that anyone can tell you. There's nothing that you can, you know, they could do to make you lose them or not want them anymore. You love them so much, and that's what you want, and you know what you want, and you're gonna go for what you want, and that's it.
Okay, but you don't want to stay in that stage, though.
No, you don't. I mean it'd be nice to, but I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sure your significant other is gonna end up messing something up, and you let's go. Everybody makes mistakes, and that brings you on to your next.
Makes mistakes. Okay. Everybody has to stay.
Calm down, Miley.
All right. But second stage is realistic love. So by this stage, you hear our relationship is not easy or fun anymore. This stage is simply where people get stuck at, because the idolization has diminished and you begin to see who your partner really is, and they begin to see who you really are. All flaws are exposed, and this is when couples start really being challenged in the relationship. This is usually the make or break stage. Some couples break up immediately. Others argue and bicker for years. If you only believe in romantic love, your relationship would definitely destruct in this stage. You may feel cheated or that you settle for a person who is not the person you fell in love with. Angry feelings begin to form and blaming starts to happen, which leads to hurt and despair. When this begins to happen, I feel as if you should go contact a counselor and get some help, because, I mean, obviously y'all can get it together. Couples wait a long time before seeking outside unbiased help, which caused many potentially great relationships to end. So what I mean by seeking outside and unbiased help is not going to your family members, because they're always going to side with you. So your take on realistic love, like I said, you know, you don't want to get stuck in the romantic stage, because, you know, it's not going to last forever.
I definitely don't want to be stuck in the romantic stage. Realistic love, I do have to agree with, you know, you get to see who your partner truly is, flaws and everything. And I've learned the hard way that, you know, you don't go to, you know, people who are going to have your back, because they, at the end of the day, might not always have your back, and, you know, with you and your significant other. So make sure that if you and your partner are having troubles, you guys, I mean, if you love them that much, you're going to figure it out regardless, hopefully. But I would definitely, you know, if you're having problems, you need to talk it out with your partner. And if that's not working, if you guys can't come to, you know, common ground with that, then definitely seek out some help. Whether it's, you know, a therapist or something like that, because if you love your partner that much, that's the least you can do from either side of the relationship.
I mean, you know, combining the first and second stage, romantic and realistic, could be, you know, helpful and, helpful and good thing in a relationship, you know, just, you know, idolizing, you want to be with them every day, but realizing that they do have flaws, which brings me to my third stage, which is mature love. This stage is marked by safety and security in the relationship. Both feel fulfilled and cared for by the other. To obtain this type of love is to work through the previous stages, no shortcuts. This stage, you know your partner's inside and out, not your insides. I don't want to know that. And you accept their flaws and all. You work through obstacles and difficulties together. Everyone makes mistakes, and each stage has its mistakes. The important thing is that couples commit to working through mistakes and build and grow together. Mature love is a stage where love is an action and feeling is a word. That's a great quote. No longer worried about losing the relationship, you can experience this type of love as safe, satisfying, and passionate. So,
mature love is definitely, I think, you know, stages one and two put together. Once you're able to idolize your person and, you know, want them, and then once you realize who they truly are and you realize that, even though you realize who they truly are, you still want them, you still love them, and you're going to love them no matter what. That's what makes you accept the person for who they are and realize, you know, I do really love this person. I do really want them in my life, regardless of, you know, their past or the mistakes they've made. You know, this is the person that I see myself with. And if you can get through all of that, then, hey, that's mature love.
Yeah, I feel you. Have you ever been stuck in one of these stages before in a relationship?
Definitely.
Okay, do definitely. You mind sharing?
Definitely. I mean, with my significant other right now, I think that I was stuck in the first stage for a while. You know, there was nothing anyone could tell me, you know, to, you know, get me away from this person, whether it be, you know, whatever it was. And believe me, people have tried and it didn't work. And I think we've also been through, you know, the second stage where we just felt like, you know, it wasn't working out and we didn't know what to do. And like I said, I went to people who, you know, were on my side, or so I thought, and it wasn't. And unfortunately, you know, it kind of hurt my relationship. But at the end of the day, like I said, I believe that I want to be with this person for a really long time. And gross. I believe that, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And we've worked things out. And I'm happy where I am right now with my significant other. So
that's great. I'm happy for you. Now, this quote that I said, that mature love is the stage where love is an action and feeling is a word. What's your take on that? I feel like that's a really good quote to live by.
Yes, I like that quote, and I tend to believe in it, and I want to say that I, you know, I love it and everything, but I'm also that type of person who kind of like, I like to hear, you know, that, oh, I like to hear, you know, someone loves me. That's just me. That's how I grew up. That's, you know, what I heard my father telling my mom all the time. So that's gross. Kind of what I'm used to. But I also believe that someone could tell you that they love you and they don't mean it. So it's, you know, actions speak louder than words.
I remember we had a discussion about, you know, how you can love somebody and not be in love with them. And what did you say about that?
I think I ultimately said that it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of heated for a while because I was like, no, like, you have to be in love with them. But like I said, that's just, I'm this type of person. Like, I want everyone to love everyone. I, you know, love is such like this wonderful thing that's like in my head. And I think I like romanticize the idea of love. Yeah. So that's why it's so big to me. But I've realized that, you know, love is great, but I can't be idolizing it so much. I have to mature.
Well, yeah, that's true. Everybody has to grow up eventually. And, yeah. You know, it brings up another topic about, you know, exes and the green monster of jealousy. So what did you take on like contact with exes?
Now, if you would have asked me this a while ago, I'd probably be like, like, no way. But I think that's also something that, I mean, I've learned to trust my partner. And as hard as it, not trust, but I've learned to not be so insecure and jealous with other people, just because it's going to hurt your relationship in the end. If your partner is, you know, and it loves you and says they love you, and you have to believe that, you know, their actions, whatever they do, they're not going to hurt you at the end. So if they're speaking to their exes, so be it. Now, if that person, their ex or whatever, is being malicious and, you know, saying certain things and like, you know, hey, like, let's cuddle or, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's not okay with me. That doesn't fly. And my significant other should know that that does not fly. And let me remind you that I'm Puerto Rican, so I'll go a little crazy on somebody.
Okay, so. Calm down over there, Puerto Rican princess. So me, I said exes are examples of what you do and do not want in a relationship. Exes are stepping stones to something better. So how do you feel about that?
I have to agree. Unfortunately, a lot of people do go back to their exes. You know, that's on them. And that's, you know, I've seen it work out a couple of times, and I've seen it not work out more than a couple of times. So it's just, they're an ex for a reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're able to make it work out with them, then cool. And I've seen people, you know, go back to them because what, they have kids or, you know, whatever. But I mean, it could be a toxic relationship and you don't want that.
Ooh, toxic relationship is one of the topics you're talking about. But I mean, the question is there room for jealousy in a relationship? Should there be jealousy in a relationship?
See, I've heard people say that having a little bit of jealousy is healthy in a relationship. But, you know, like I said, I think it's more of a security thing with the person who's jealous. If you're jealous to a certain extent, that can, you know, there's a big line between being, you know, I guess cautious or like, you know, worried about your significant other, or
I don't know, that's why I'm asking you.
Well, I'm telling you, being like not worried about your significant, I don't know, if you're very insecure, I think that's where jealousy stems from. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said earlier, I was a very jealous person, and I'm still learning to not be, but I've also learned that, you know, you have to trust your partner and stuff. So I do think, you know, being a little bit jealous is cute, you know. I think it's kind of cute when like my significant other is like, who are you talking to, like, you know, whatever. But you know, at the end of the day, I know that I can trust my significant other.
Yeah. So when is it too much? I know you kind of touched on that a little bit when you were just speaking right there, but when is it too much?
What do you mean
jealousy? When is it too much in a relationship?
Like what
overboard jealousy?
Oh, well, jealousy is definitely too much, you know, when you are, you know, constantly, you know, asking your partner, asking your partner about what's going on, you know, going through people's phones and other medias and stuff, which I have to admit, I am a little criminal in that case. But I mean, it's definitely, things can go way over once you start, you know, stalking people and doing crazy things like that, going to other people that, you know, your partner is talking with and like threatening, because I've seen that side of things, and it's crazy. So yeah, that's kind of crazy. But like I said, you have to learn how to not be jealous, and it's not easy. I can tell you that much. It's definitely not easy, but you know, it can be done.
I mean, I'm not a jealous person. I don't think I am. I just go with the flow type of thing. It's not that I'm not jealous. It's just that I guess I trust my partner more than enough to, you know, let them do whatever they want, but know that they're not going to do anything that's going to harm our relationship. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, they could talk to people. I mean, it's not that I don't trust my person I'm with, my girlfriend. But it's just, I don't trust other people that, you know, she's talked to, because they don't always have the best intention. They always, you know, are very biased in situations, especially when you tell them your business and things of that nature. So I don't think I'm a jealous person. I mean, contacting exes, I mean, if that's something you want to do, good for you. But with me, I don't feel like that's a good thing, because you left them for a reason. Why are you still contacting them? I mean.
So what happens when your ex contacts you?
Nothing. I just tell my girlfriend, and that's the end of it.
No, I'm saying, but like, I'm not saying, I didn't mean you in specific. I meant like, so if somebody's ex contacts them, what do you think that they should do?
So the ex of your current, you know, say girlfriend contacts you.
No, I'm saying, okay, say a person is with their girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever, and their ex contacts, like, you know, hits them with a text like, hey, what's up? How are you? Do you text back? What advice do you give them?
I don't give them any advice. That's their choice, because I don't know that person. I had nothing to do with that person. I have no history with that person. They do, so they know how they're going to react, what they're going to say. So I can't be jumping on them about anything. Well, I'd be joking, be like, oh yeah, who you're texting, or who's that texting you? But mm-hmm. I mean, you're with me, and you're with me pretty much 24/7, so it doesn't matter.
Your happiness is sitting right here. There's no reason to be smiling at your phone.
Okay. So relationships and relationship stages, great insight. I'm loving it. You know, exes and, you know, jealousy, two great things I wanted to discuss today. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Unspoken, and DJ Karina here with me, keeping it as real as possible. We're going to take a quick break, so stay tuned.
This is for my number one. This is hard to say. I wanna make sure I go about this in the right way, 'cause lately I've been busy a lot.
and I know you don't feel appreciated and whatnot. I used to tell you that your hair looked fly, kiss you slow and stare in your eyes. Now I talk real foul and slick, every other sentence is you make me sick. Back in the days I was your number one pick, now your heart's half broken and that's hard to fix. I had to dig deep inside myself, cause I can't see you bouncing with somebody else. It's a long journey back to the place we was, when I was too embarrassed to admit I was in love. And you was my good girl that wouldn't give it up. I can't let her self-destruct.
Baby, smile today, cause I've been imagining always I'm gonna love you better.
When I think about the things we did, and I think about you having my kids, and I think about us sharing a crib, losing all that, God forbid. You deserve flowers and candy, the simple things, in addition to the SLs, baguettes and rings. Instead, I walk around like I'm a king, and having you ain't nothing but a thing. I even stopped telling you the loving was good, too busy fronting in the hood. Baby girl, hold me tight, don't ever let go. I'ma do it real gentle, baby, nice and slow. One more chance, baby, and don't say no, cause I got another side to show. Some say love is painful, it helps you grow. Well, it's time for the pain to go, you know?
Baby, smile today, cause I've been imagining always I'm gonna love you better.
I love you better, baby.
Your friends will see it too, just when you think there's nothing else I can do. I'm gonna love you better.
Do you think I'm meant to hurt you?
No.
Do you think I'm meant to hurt you? So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together. Do you think I'm meant to hurt you?
No.
Do you think I'm meant to hurt you?
No.
So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together. It's a brand new me, a brand new you, a brand new day. Sky so blue. Hold my hand while I walk with you. Sit on my lap, let me talk to you. No more games, calling you foul names. Acting like females is all the same. I'm gonna love you better, my mentality changed. From this day forward, I'll never be the same. I'ma rub your lower back, share my dreams. I love you, let me show you what I mean.
Keep it up, girl, let me see. Watch you sleep so peaceful and serene. All right, so we're back on Pinging Radio. I'm DJ Unspoken, and you know my DJ over here, DJ Karina.
What's Gucci?
So we're going to be talking about toxic relationships. So by definition, a toxic relationship is a relationship characterized by behavior on the part of a toxic partner that are emotional and not infrequently physically and damaging to their partner. Keep in mind that it takes two individuals to have a toxic relationship. Initially, we look at the behaviors of the toxic partner, but we must look equally as hard at the individual who is the recipient of the toxic behavior. And we must ask, why? Why does an adult stay in a relationship that will almost inevitably damage him or her emotionally and or physically? And what, if anything, can we do to a short living leaving that might help mend such relationship? With few expectations, human beings want to be emotionally and physically close to each other. Life seems better shared, and yet no area of human endeavor seems more fraught than challenges and difficulties than our relationships with others. Relationships, like most things in our life worth having, require effort. Some relationships, however, are more difficult and require proportionally more work and time. We're not clones, but individuals, and some individuals in relationships are going to have more difficulties and more disagreements. But because we value these relationships, we are willing to make the effort to take it takes to keep them. And then there are toxic relationships. These relationships have mutated themselves to something that has the potential, if not correct, to be extremely harmful to our well-being. These relationships are not necessarily hopeless, but they require sustainable and difficult work if they are to be changed into something healthy. The paradox is that in order to have relationships and a reasonable chance to turn a toxic relationship into a healthy relationship, we have to be prepared to leave it. Your take so far on that topic of a toxic relationship?
I have to agree that it takes two people to be in a toxic relationship, like you said. It definitely, I mean, like in cases of, you know, domestic violence and stuff like that, people are like, oh, well, you know, there's only one person usually who's, you know, doing, you know, the beating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people, you know, you have to look at the other person who's staying in. Yeah, they may be staying because it's hard for them to get out or it's dangerous for them to get out. But, you know, people do get out of them and do survive. And some people tend to stay just because, you know, oh, you know, I can change them or I love them and stuff like that. But it's definitely, it definitely takes two. So I definitely agree with that in terms of toxic relationships, excuse me.
That's all good. So, I mean, toxic relationships can range from, you know, unfaithfulness, infidelity, domestic violence. So domestic violence is a big thing that's, you know, happening. Mm-hmm. It's been happening for a very long time. And how do you feel about domestic violence? I mean, I know it's hard for people to sometimes leave because of financial reasons, kids, things of that nature. But what is your take on that? I mean, it does take two people, and it is a two-person thing, mm-hmm. but it's not the victim's fault. But yeah. Also, you have to look at it. It kind of is because they're still staying in there and putting themselves in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So your take on that?
I personally have never, thankfully, been a victim of domestic violence, nor have, you know, anyone in my family and such. But I do not tolerate it whatsoever. Me and my significant other play around, you know, we'll hit, oh, that sounds bad. We'll, you know, we'll play around and stuff and, you know, joke around and, like, you know, wrestle or whatever. I don't know how to say it to where it doesn't sound bad, but there's definitely a very thin line that can be crossed, and it's can be pretty scary, I'm assuming. So it's something that I hope I never go through. I don't think I will ever go through. I think I'm a little too strong for that in terms of my attitude, but you know, it's kind of it's something that we need to look at because it's definitely a problem in society, and I think it's kind of overlooked.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I myself have never seen domestic violence particularly, and, you know, growing up, I mean, sometimes here and there, but, you know, arguments can turn a little physical sometimes or whatever, mm-hmm. but never to the point where it's like a continuous thing of, like, you know, getting beat on, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, I know it is a two-person thing, toxic relationships are a two-person part, but, I mean, I feel as if you continue to put yourself in harm's way, it's like it's insanity to me.
And then it's also, if you have kids and you're staying, you're also putting your children in harm's way. Because usually in a domestic relationship, they're not just, you know, or a domestic violence relationship, they're hitting on, you know, either the wife or the husband, as well as the children, and you're putting your children at harm too. And I mean, I'm not a mother, but I could only assume that your mother, you know, as a mother, you wouldn't want your kids to be in harm. So why stay?
Yeah. Your take on, like, unfaithfulness, you know, cheating and things like that. I mean, that's also a toxic relationship. If you continue to keep taking them back and wonder why they keep doing the same thing to you. And to me, it's like, why do you continue to keep putting yourself in that situation or those situations? So unfaithfulness and cheating.
Definitely does not fly with me. Unfortunately, you know, things happen, and some people for some reason feel the need that, you know, they need to go out and do that, or there's, you know, oh, that one drunken night or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know what you're doing. At the end of the day, you know, your body can't do things that you don't want it to do. And it's definitely, it's not, there's no excuse for it at the end of the day. And
I mean, it goes back to the stages, like realistic love, how people get sucked there and they feel cheated and they don't feel like they or with the person they fell in love with. So I think, you know, unfaithfulness and cheating and infidelity and all those things that are go hand in hand come in that stage, you know. And those who make it out and go into mature love, those are the lucky ones. The relationships really last, and the relationship can move forward from those past mistakes. But I mean, me personally, cheating is not a good thing. I mean, I've told people, you know, I guess associates, because I really don't have friends like that, that lying to me is worse than cheating, because I don't feel like I was worth the truth. So you have to lie to me about something. I mean, if you cheated and you came and told me, I would respect you so much more than having to lie about it and then me finding out from somebody else, which is not a good. It's not a good look. Now, I'm not going to go beat you or anything. That's definitely not going to happen. You know, I may shake you a little bit. But, you know, I'm just going to bounce, because there's no need for that. It's no place for that. And I don't want any negative or toxic things in my life. Because, I mean, my life's going pretty well, and my relationship is, you know, growing. It's flourishing. It's something that I may want to have for a long time. And, you know, toxic things like domestic violence or unfaithfulness, there's no need for that. Like the quotes say, you know, love is an action and feeling is a word. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be feeling some type of way because I feel like I can't trust you because of this, this, and other. Which brings me to another point that just came to my mind about partners, your partner's past mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you bringing that baggage into a relationship, that can also be toxic as well. You're bringing past issues, past experiences with previous people you've been with into another relationship. Your takes on that?
That's definitely something that happens, especially when something in the past has been so traumatic. That's, you know, that's something that you can't get over. And if that's the case, I suggest that you go see help with that too, because time heals a lot, but it doesn't heal all. There's things that you need to talk about if you haven't talked about it. There's, you know, people make you feel types of way. You have feelings for a reason, and if you don't put them out there, if you don't, you know, talk about it, if you don't get it out there, it's gonna tag along with you. It's gonna be like a shadow, and you're gonna bring that to other things, and it can affect your, you know, your next relationships, or, you know, your relationships after that, and not only with your significant other, but also with family or friends. So you want to make sure that, you know, you can grieve when needed and let go of it, because, you know, they're in your past. You should keep that with them.
Which, you know, brings to the next segment is like, when is it time to leave and how do you end a relationship? So when do you think is the best time to leave a relationship?
It's never right time to say goodbye.
Okay, you can't sing, so try again.
When is it the right time to leave?
Yeah, leave a relationship when you know that this is not going anywhere. Y'all are stuck, and
there you go.
There's no progress.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm asking you. That's my personal opinion.
When it's time to leave, when you can no longer do anything for that person, and they can no longer do anything for you. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy with them, if you don't think that that person in your life can benefit you and make you a better person. And I mean, I'm just saying, not only like, you know, to me, love is having someone that you want to share your life with and that can help you prosper as an individual, with their help and, you know, by yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So if that person can no longer do that for you, if that and be genuinely happy for you and be with you and, you know, be there for you no matter what, if any of those things are not checked off your list, then unfortunately, it's time to go.
I heard that. But there's 10 signs that it's time to leave that I've put together, you know, compiled from a longer list. Mm-hmm. And the first two, I feel like, are just dead giveaways when there is physical abuse. Of course, we just discussed that in a toxic relationship. And another one is addiction, being that to drugs, to gambling, to the feeling of love, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like those are two dead giveaways that it's time to leave a relationship because that's not healthy. Number three is a lack of trust. Four is cheating, a continuous cheating. Five is, we just discussed, you have grown apart and can't reconnect. Six is continuous disrespect, bad communication, imbalance between partners, ego-based, and too much drama. I'm not for drama. I do not like drama because that drama is just negative to me, period. There's no such thing as good drama. Your takes on this, the list of when it's time to leave?
Bad communication can also do it. I mean, if you don't communicate with your partner, and you know, I've learned the hard way, it's definitely something that can hinder your relationship from growing. And it's something that, like I said, you need to talk about things, because if you're not happy with something and you don't talk about it, guess what? It's not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. It might, from that point on, it might just be getting worse, and there's nothing you can do about it from there. Cause once you hit, you know, rock bottom, yeah, there's nowhere to go but up. But I mean, you keep digging yourself a hole, you end up in China one day.
Okay. And like I said, the first two day giveaways, I know it may be harder for some due to children, financial reasons, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like you should get help and get out. I mean, my favorite movie I've watched is with Jennifer Lopez, Enough, which was an excellent movie. She was excellent in that movie. Not to say she wasn't good in her other movies, like Made in Manhattan and things of that nature, but she was pretty bad in some other movies, but we're not going to discuss that. It's for another time. But Enough, she was a mother. She was a waitress. She got tricked. She married this guy. He became abusive. They had a child. And he like pushed the kid in one of the scenes. Just like knocked her down. And she hit her head or something like that. And, you know, Jennifer Lopez said, you know, she had enough. She got herself together, got out, got help, got training, came back, kicked his ass, and was, you know, great movie, great ending. He ended up dying, and she lived the rest of her life happily. You know, it's not, and that's to say that she was really lucky, being one of the lucky ones to get out there. That's what the officer says, because typically women who are in domestic violence relationships don't normally make it out alive. And, you know, that's really sad that that's happening in America. Well, everywhere in the world, but me being bringing it back close to home, that's really sad that's happening out here. And, you know, women don't know how to get help and get out, especially if they have kids, which is really sad to me. Have you seen the movie enough?
Oh, multiple times.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie of all times. So, the movie, which moves to my next topic, how to end a relationship. So, first step, which I think is key, break up in person if possible. Do not break up over no email, no text. Don't send me no note by no a bird. No Twitter, no Instagram, none of those social media things. Don't etch it in stone and throw it in my window.
It's not true. You only got 10 seconds.
Right. So break up in person if possible, which is really healthy for both of you guys. Second is choose a neutral site. Actually, choose a public neutral site. Don't anywhere that's private, because anything can happen and nobody would know. Choose a public site. Avoid the blame game. Don't be like, I'm breaking up with you because of this, this, and this. Just say, what is the words? Use the I instead of you kind of thing, so mm-hmm. you won't be blaming. Have strong boundaries. Don't set boundaries and they be weak and you end up getting back with them and you go through the same cycle all over again. Have strong boundaries. Be generous, you know, thank them for, I guess, a learning experience. I mean, it can hurt. I mean, every ex is an example and it's a learning experience, you know, of what you want and what you don't want in your life. Agree on letting others know. So, you know, letting your family know, letting your friends know that you're no longer with this person. Agree on a future contact. So if y'all do want to stay in touch, I mean, disagree on that, because I don't want one person who doesn't want to stay in touch, you want to stay in touch with them, it's not going to fly. It's just going to look bad on your part, on both of your parts, because one's going to look like a jerk and the other one's going to look like real pathetic. So, I mean, move on. No bad mouthing your partner. So I don't know if you've seen that when Justin Bieber was on Ellen, he was talking about Selena Gomez. And
I haven't seen it.
He was just really, he did not say anything bad about her. He was still loved her. They still talk sometimes. He was really praising her for everything. And mm-hmm. I mean, if you haven't seen that interview, you should see it. You should just see it because of Ellen. I mean, I'm not a big Justin Bieber fan, but I mean, what he said about Selena was really nice. It's a great example for young men out there. Number 9 is avoid isolation after break. Do not be alone this time, because a lot of things could be going through your mind. You could be just really go into depressed stage and all sorts of things can happen. So avoid being isolated for a long period of time. I mean, yes, time, you have time to grieve and do all of that, but you know, get out, have fun, be around people who make you happy. And number 10 is take time to heal. Like I said, you may need some alone time, so get that if you need it, but get around people who have positive vibes so you can get back on your feet. Your takes on the how to end a relationship list?
I believe all of those are completely true. I actually just have a friend who just got out of a relationship, so you know, those tips definitely would help him. And I think that it's definitely hard. It's a hard time, especially if you're the, you know, breakup E. Mm-hmm. But as a person breaking up, that those are, you know, you also have some tips in there that work really well. You know, don't do it over the phone or whatever. You know, also do it neutral site. You know, don't do it in private, but don't do it at church either. You know, like, let's be smart about the situation. But I mean, I have to agree with a lot of those. So good job.
No, thank you for that. So you trying to say I'm smart? I am. Thanks. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Unspoken, and my co-DJ, DJ Rena, over there on the ones and twos, I guess. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let's do this dirty laundry, this dirty laundry. Let's do this dirty laundry, this dirty laundry.
when you're soaked in tears for years and never airs out. When you make pain look this good and never wears out. This dirty laundry, this dirty laundry. When my sister was on stage, killing it like a mother, I was enraged, feeling it like a mother. Bird in a cage, you would never know what I was dealing with when I separate ways. But I was happy, she was killing it. Bitter, sweet, she was up, I was down. No lie, I feel good for her, but what do I do now? Forget the records, off the record, I was going through some bullshit. Post survivor, she on fire, who wanna hear my bullshit? Meanwhile, this man putting his hands on me. Swear y'all don't know the half of this industry. Let's do this dirty laundry, this dirty laundry. Let's do this dirty laundry, this dirty laundry. When you're soaked in tears for years and never airs out. When you make pain look this good and never wears out. It's dirty laundry, it's dirty laundry. And it's almost been a decade. I'm behind them black shades. Roll up like it's all good. Right about that Escalade. Fix my makeup. Together, Kelly, get it together, then we make up. Well, get it together, get it together. Kinda lucky I was in her shadow. Phone call from my sister, what's the matter? She said, oh no, baby, you gotta leave. I'm on the kitchen floor. He took the keys. I was mad at everybody. I mean everybody. Yeah, everybody. 5 years later, I got my shit down pat. Think I had it good, and they don't know how bad. Fooled everybody,
including myself. Anyways, radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio is what you've been listening to. I'm DJ Unspoken here, and my co-DJ here, Karina.
What's Gucci?
So we're going to talk about how to maintain a healthy relationship. Just shake off some of that bad juju about toxic relationships. So the first step is communication is the key, which I think is should be number one. It's the biggest thing in a relationship. If you can't talk about anything, then why are you in a relationship in the first place? You can't discuss anything between your partner, then, you know, just leave. You're better off being by yourself. You're just better off being an introvert. Number two is respect, which is also a big thing. I think these two are the biggest things in a relationship. Number three is quality time, not quantity time. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with your partner. It's just the value you get out of the time you do spend with your partner, which is a big thing for me. I mean, I like being by myself, but I mean, quality time with my girlfriend is actually great. I don't just hit the mic weird. But quality time with somebody is actually really good for you. It's a big part of your health. Four is time apart, which I just said. I like being by myself, which is also a big key. Number five is love language. Telling each other what makes you feel love and special helps both of you feel connected. Six is appreciation. Seven is positive versus negative. I know you like have people go and say, oh, I hate my job. I'm annoyed by my families and friends. But you are with somebody and you need to look at your partner for positive qualities. And don't nitpick at what's, because you're having a bad day. Don't nitpick at your partner about all the things that their flaws or whatever they're doing bad. Eight is choose your battles. My mom always tells me pick and choose your battles is one of these battles really worth fighting for, which I'm learning more and more each day when to speak and when not to speak, when it's important to and when it's not, because not everything needs my attention and not everything needs my energy, which I feel like that's also a big thing in a relationship. Number nine, oh my goodness, sex. You need to have relations every now and then. I mean, it's a big part of health. Did you just laugh at me?
Yes.
I kind of choked on the word. It's kind of, it's a big part of relationship. It's great. It helps maintain a healthy body, et cetera, et cetera. Moving on. No comparison. The grass is not always greener on the other side, which you should be happy with the view at your front door. Don't compare your career, your life to those of celebrities or your neighbor or your boss. Just be happy with what you have, because what you have can turn into what you had real quick. So your takes on that, DJ Karina?
I have to agree with all of them. I definitely like the communication part. Like I said earlier, communication is key. If there's something going wrong and you don't talk about it, it's not going to work out. I'm sorry. It's done so from there on. Definitely the last one, you know, grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's not. It's green is where it's watered. So, you know, don't laugh at me. It's true. So, I mean, if you work on your relationship, that's where it's going to, you know, that's where it's going to prosper. You can't compare yourself to others, because at the end of the day, you're your own person. You're your own unique self. So trying to be like somebody else or trying to, you know, be them and try to, you know, aspire to that level is not going to happen. You should, you know, you can aspire to be that level, but just remember that you and your partner are always going to be different no matter what. So,
and I don't like when people compare their relationship to celebrities or like people in general, because you never know what people are going through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we just listened to Kelly Rowland, Dirty Laundry, and you know, nobody knew what that girl was going through. You know, she was getting beat and everything else, and nobody knew that. And you know, people I see, there's this picture I saw of this man and woman who are married, and it was one picture of the front and the back. She had bruises on her arm. He was like twisting her arm up and stuff, you know. And it's like, don't compare yourself to other people, because mm-hmm. you never know what people are going through. You want that, yeah. You know, you want to get beat, you want to get, you know, verbally abused, you know, all that stuff. And I hate when people do that. I cannot mm-hmm. stand it. I mean, yeah, I know I look like Denzel Washington, but you know, whatever. You know, Idris Elba on a good day, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm done with you. But I don't like when people compare their relationships to other people's relationships, because you don't know what people are going through. So if you had to pick, you know, just 5 out of these 10 on this list, what 5 would you pick?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I think definitely communication. Mm-hmm. Respect as well, because if you don't have respect for your partner, you're not, to me, you can't have respect for someone else if you can't have respect, or if you don't have respect for yourself, you can't have respect for someone else. So respect is definitely something that is needed, not only in a relationship but just in general. So I think communication and respect, definitely. I definitely think that you should choose your battles. Mm-hmm. You know, people tend to argue over little things, and which can, I guess, be okay. I speak to my mom all the time about it, because I hear that, or, you know, my mom and my dad argue over like the dumbest stuff sometimes. And I tell my mom, oh, like, why are you arguing over this? She's like, well, at least it's little stuff and not big stuff that can actually, like, you know, break us up or yeah. whatever. But I definitely think you should choose your battles. Dang, how many is that? That's 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You need to pick up the pace a little bit there.
I know. I'm trying it's to figure it out.
It's not that hard.
It actually is. Sex 10. Is definitely, you know, I mean, hey. And last but not least, I definitely think quality time, not quantity time. No matter how much time you have with your partner, I think you should definitely try to make it the best. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you spend a lot of time with your partner, and don't just be there on your phone, just laying down, like, you know, doing. I mean, that's cool too, you know, but it's like, you want to do the most of them, because, you know, there's people who have people in the military and they can't see their partners every day. There's people, you know, who have people who travel and they can't see their significant other all the time. So definitely make it quality time, not just, you know, being with them 24/7 and not doing anything.
Yeah, I know you brought up a point where it's like when you're arguing about something, excuse me, and, you know, to do like a helium balloon. And the first person who laughs, or whatever the case uh-huh. may be. What was that?
It was when you're arguing with somebody. I can't remember it now that you told
okay,
me.
Okay, we're done with it.
It was funny, though. It was like something like, if you're arguing with someone, like, just imagine, or like, get a helium balloon and then like suck in the helium and then start arguing about the whatever it is that you were arguing about again. And the first person to laugh is like the person who like loses the fight or whatever.
Boo.
But it like makes the like the argument seem like that, like it's that stupid, like yeah. honestly, this is what we're fighting about, like
yeah.
So
I mean, also being able to laugh about things, you know, just whatever is going on in life, having your own friends so you don't have the same group of friends, especially when you break up, that's, you know, always not a good look. And then don't go to bed angry at each other, which I feel like is a really, really big thing. Is I know if they make you upset and whatever the case may be, but don't go to bed angry, because that can not only affect you, but also affect your partner. It can affect both your health because y'all stressing about the situation. And respecting each other's boundaries. So if I don't want to do something, or I'm not comfortable doing something, or I don't feel like you should be doing something, but I mean, it's just my personal opinion, but if you trust in my opinion, you should be able to respect that. You know what I'm saying? Whoever you're with. Your takes on, you know, that, any of those?
I definitely think that you should, you know, be able to have your own group of friends and stuff, and like people that, you know, you could talk to, not necessarily about the relationship, because I mean, that's your business with your significant other, but you know, just have people to confide in and be with and stuff like that. I also think that definitely not going bed to mad at your significant other is not okay at all. That's something, like you said, that can affect your sleep, that can affect your health. It's just, it's not okay. And I am not only, you know, going to bed mad at someone, but like if you and your significant other get in a fight, I tend to be a little, you know, on the anxious side. So I don't like to, like, if me and my significant other get in a fight or argument, I don't like to just like leave and leave it like that. I would think it's a good idea to have like some type of saying or thing that you do, like, okay, you know, if we're arguing, and like throw up a peace sign, like, or something, you know, that makes me like, no, okay, you know, that you talked it over with your significant other. You're like, okay, this is, you know, when we argue, whatever, and I do this, just know that that means, you know, we're still good. I, you know, I'm mad at you right now, or I'm angry at you, whatever, but at the end of the day, I love you, and we're gonna be okay, you know. So I think that's something that always has to be, you know, reminded, that yeah, I'm mad, you know, we went through this, whatever, but at the end of the day, I got you.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, that was weak. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that, but you know, it's that time again, so we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Enjoy this Bosco break, and when we come back, words of the day are coming up next.
What's up, listeners? You got it. Your weekly Bosco break and your update of Dominican volleyball. The Lady Penguins finally overcame their five-match losing streak when sophomore Amy Steinwan matched a career-high 24 kills as the Dominican University of California women's volleyball team gave a full team effort in a 3-1 victory over Azusa Pacific last Thursday night in the Conlin Center. These Penguins have turned things around with back-to-back victories in another 3-1 win against Notre Dame de Namur in the Conlin Center on Saturday afternoon. The Penguins avenged an earlier season loss to the Argonauts, but looked in trouble of losing back-to-back matches to the Argos after dropping set one. Dominican came out swinging in set two and outscored the Argonauts 9-3 down the stretch en route to a .342 hitting percentage. The Penguins put on an even more impressive show of offense in set four, where they swung their way to a .423 hitting percentage. Three Penguins ended up in double digits, led by 16 from sophomore Amy Steinwand. Freshman Brittany Lateague added 15, and sophomore Shannon Riggio-Curley added a dozen. Junior Hannah Smith ran an efficient offense and distributed 51 assists, while junior libero Amanda Lee led all players with 21 digs and had a career-high 4 service aces. Steinwan had a double-double with 15 digs, and junior Madeline Paulson added 14. Dominican will look to make it 3 consecutive victories on Wednesday, November 18th, when Dominican will honor senior Amanda Wasco in a pregame ceremony on senior night. First serve is slated for 7 p.m. Live stats and video will be available at DominicanAthletics.com/live with live audio provided by radio.dominican.edu. Now that wraps up your Bosco break. Tune in next week.
Shout out to Bosco for that. I mean, go catch the Lady Penguins tonight, 7 p.m. at Collins Center in the Icebox there. Senior night, come out, support. So it's that time again, real words of the day. So my real words of the day are: speak the truth, live the truth, be the truth. And if you didn't catch that song that was behind Bosco's song, WTF, Where They From by Missy Elliott, if you don't know who Missy Elliott is, just don't ever tune into my radio station ever again, because you're just so disrespectful. Like, she is the greatest, I don't know, hip hop artist ever. I absolutely love her. Everybody knows that I love her. I listen to her songs like every day. I have to. I've listened to this song probably like 10 times in a row every day. Yeah. Just came out last week. It's the best song. It's the best song I've ever heard. But yeah, it's the real words of the day. I'm gonna repeat those again. Speak the truth, live the truth, be the truth. Your quote. Come on.
The truth shall set you free.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you don't lie.
Yeah.
Speak the truth.
That's true. And I mean, yeah, live the truth. Don't, I know it's a whole nother topic, you know, about, you know, religion and things like that, but you know, live the truth. You know, everybody wants to be like God or closer to God. You know, that's part of it. Go ahead.
And I think that, like, speaking the truth is one thing, but, you know, living the truth is another. So it's like, you know, yeah, you can say one thing, but, you know, you got to live it out to be it. Oh, dang. Oh, it hit me just now.
Okay, anyways, I'm sorry. She did not take care of meds today. But that's my time is up today. I'm really enjoying myself talking about relationships. And, you know, always remember, kind is the new cute. You know, go out your way to make somebody's day. Even if you had a bad day today, somebody else may be going through the same thing, but go out your way to make sure their day is good, because that can also affect you and make sure your day is well. So be sure to tune in Friday. 2 days from now, Friday, my next radio show. I'm doing 2 shows this week because last week I missed my other one. I know y'all missed me. It's okay. So I'm DJ Unspoken, my co-DJ Karina, here on Keeping It Real, Talk You Feel, my radio show on penguinradio.dominican.edu. So hopefully I see y'all next week. And Friday. All right, I'm out.
Afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. 'Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. To know you, longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for your feel, for your essence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fear.